Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Daniel Silk, political economy analyst, futurist and keynote speaker. Daniel Silk, good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us again on 101.9 Hi FM.
Very good to be with you. I always enjoy it.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Yeah, seriously, then I'm not going to feel so bad asking to be on next time. Daniel, we had a great chat about 2.5-3 weeks ago. We were talking about politics. We were taking the temperature of the country. And you said the key thing at that stage would be to wait and see what happened after Super Wednesday, which was the results of the by-elections, and I think it was as many as 95 wards. That's happened. Those results are in. And I myself spoke to a lady at Ipsos last week who had a very weird take on events. And I think maybe we need a second opinion. So having told us that this was the most important event to look out for in terms of projecting the future, what's your take on what happened on Super Wednesday?
Well, I can't always remember what I said, so you can hold me to account. I don't think one must regard by-elections as the most important test. Clearly, there are very specific issues with by-elections, and in this particular case, there was extra specific issues because these by-elections that were held were really an accumulation of all of those elections that couldn't be held over this last year or so because of COVID. So that was the first issue. The second issue was there were a lot of by-elections that were held in areas where the former councillor had left his previous or her previous political party, had crossed the floor, had stood as an independent. There were all sorts of shenanigans with a number of candidates across the board. So I'm not sure that these by-elections were completely representative, but the bottom line is the Democratic Alliance fared relatively poorly in these elections. And it was significant because, of course, their new leader had just been confirmed 10 days prior, and his first outings at the polls, so to speak, really was less than satisfactory. And I think this really should be now a wake-up call for the DA, that unless it finds its right message to its support base and to a broader support base as well, it could very well go back in terms of its support levels in local government elections next year.
What about the fact that the ANC, despite all the PPE corruption issues, besides ongoing issues that we read about in the press each and every day, there was no punishment whatsoever meted out by the voters?
There wasn't that much punishment. I agree with you. Some of the percentage polls were very low in some of these wards, which would indicate that voters were certainly not motivated to go out to vote.
Yes.
And I think there, too, you have to understand that when you have a national election campaign, not by-elections, when you have a proper local government election, you have a much bigger focus, a bigger campaign from the major political parties. It almost becomes a national campaign. So you are likely to get more voters coming out to vote in a national election, and that can very well change some of the results that we've had. But it was a remarkably stable vote for the ANC. Granted, a lot of these wards that were contested were very safe ANC wards, so there wasn't that much chance for great surprises in these by-elections. But it does show, and I always say, if the ruling party or the governing party does well, it's not so much about the governing party, it's that the opposition parties weren't that attractive.
That's very, very interesting take on issues. That really is an interesting insight. The other thing that was my takeaway was the growth of small, insignificant, and I hope that isn't offensive, insignificant parties. I think you had in Indonesia, you had an Islamic party win. I think Good did pretty well for the first time. And noticeable as well that the EFF won absolutely nothing.
Yes, you're right. We did see what I call a sort of a balkanization of some of the opposition votes to smaller special interest entities, particularly the Al-Jamaa party, which, as you correctly say, won in Lanesia. And that does also indicate that many of those voters were probably DA voters who found the DA unappealing this time around and still wanted to stay with an opposition party. And, of course, we have such a choice of parties in South Africa now that you can really find your particular niche depending on your own views. I think that will be of concern to the DA because clearly it's in the DA's interest that they centralize opposition voters with them as opposed to having a sort of a balkanized fruit salad of opposition parties represented. And the DA will have to work on that particular issue. The EFF really didn't perform particularly well. Their vote was up marginally in some of the wards. But again, the conditions were not there for specific EFF growth in these by-elections. And I do think the EFF would do better with a national campaign that we should have, let us say, in August or just after August of next year. They probably will do better than their performance in these 95 wards.
I'm trying to understand that, and I must say I'm struggling with that. I also thought they would have done better than they did. And I'm wondering, is that perhaps, is Brackenfell, a result of them having done so badly, the need to make a publicity splash to, you know, get on the front pages of the paper, never mind that you could take the country down at the same time?
Well, I do think that, you know, the EFF's modus operandi is to gain as much publicity as it can, to be as disruptive and really as aggressive as it can be, which, of course, it was with regards to the Clicks hair product incident,
yes.
Which revived the status of the EFF in the media after, you know, a COVID-induced slumber for 6 months prior to that. So Brackenfell also puts the EFF back in the news. It shows them to be a special interest or pressure group, which they are. But I think for many voters, whilst they might find the EFF quite attractive in terms of the protest style of its politics, they still don't trust the EFF with their vote. And that's the challenge for the EFF. If you believe Twitter is an indication of South Africa's opinion, which it isn't necessarily, you'll find a lot of people really admiring the fact that the EFF is standing up for its particular issues, but those individuals are still not prepared to put their cross next to the EFF.
Okay, so I just want to leave it with a final thought from you. So you're saying don't overestimate the results of these by-elections on a national election to be held next year.
Yes, I think we shouldn't simply extrapolate, to use an analyst's word,
what we've seen
here, and then just assume it's going to be the national result. National campaigns are bigger. Political parties can put forward different messaging. And for the DA coming off a really very miserable last 18 months or so, if they can get their messaging right, and it's a big if, but if they can, then they can begin to claw back some of that lost support. So I wouldn't write the DA off in terms of what we've seen, but I certainly think they are swimming upstream in order to try and achieve and get back to where they were.
I think that's what happens when you try factor race out of politics in South Africa. I think, anyway, my own opinion is not important. Daniel Silk, thank you so very much for talking to us this afternoon and for your insights as per usual, which is just so absolutely fascinating.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.